this morning has pointed us to the message. We read about or sang about the song, the friend of Jesus that we have in the garden. All of this points us to the truth, I believe, this morning that we're going to see in John chapter number 20. I'm reminded of the farmer who had a gentleman come to him requesting his daughter's hand in marriage. The farmer wanted to put this man to a test. I can't vouch for the veracity of this story, but I'll tell you, it's a good point. And he had three bulls, this farmer did, and the challenge was for this young man to go stand in the field, and the farmer was going to release a bull at a time, one at a time, and that young man had to grab the tail of the bull, and if he could get the tail of the bull in his hand, he could marry the farmer's daughter. Well, the farmer sent the young man out to the field, and he went to the barn, and he opened up the gate, and boy, this man saw the biggest bull and meanest bull he had ever seen in his life, and he thought, there is no way I'm going to grab this bull's tail. Surely this is the biggest bull he's got, and I mean, I'm not going to be able to do this. So the bull comes charging out at him, and boy stood aside, and the bull kind of went past him and went out to the pasture there, and he thought, all right, we got two more chances here. And so the farmer opened up the gate, and here's the next bull, and it was bigger and meaner than the first one. And this guy thought, this is unbelievable. I can't even believe that this farmer has two big, mean bulls like this. And same thing, he backed out of the way, and the bull ran right by him, and he was glad, and he said, surely the third one can't be as bad. And sure enough, he opened the gate, and stood in the gate was the most sickly, frail-looking, weak bull he had ever seen. And he thought, this is my chance. And so he stood, he made himself ready, and that bull kind of came galloping out as much as he could. And as he went by, the man reached behind to grab the bull by the tail, and he didn't have a tail. Now, have you ever been in that situation where you feel like you've missed the opportunity? You just missed out? Now, there's probably a lot of stories that we could tell about missed opportunities. I don't think we would even have a clue as to the opportunities we've missed in life many times, because we just go about our life as if we make our decisions and therefore we make our choices, and whatever comes is whatever we've chosen, and we don't even consider many times the fact that we have missed opportunities. I take the story now to where we've read, and I believe it's probably one of the greatest tragedies of God's people, a disciple, that we find in the Bible. The greatest tragedy that we find in our Christian life, I believe, is the tragedy of missing the Lord Jesus Christ. How often do we think to ourselves, I've learned as much as I'm going to learn. Or I've already heard that passage 45 times. Or I prayed this morning for 5 minutes. Or I went to church this morning and that's enough. Or I've read my Bible and I already know those stories and it doesn't speak to me. And so we just kind of say to ourselves, I've had enough. And maybe we'll say, I've had enough until next week, or I've had enough until tomorrow, or I've done enough already, I already know the Lord. But the plea for today from these precious stories and pages of Scripture is that we would not, hear me now, miss any time with the Lord Jesus. We would not miss any time with the Lord Jesus. Now the story picks up right after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, very likely even the same day. As a matter of fact, I believe it was. Jesus rose from the dead in the morning, and in the evening, that evening, he shows up to his disciples who are hiding in a room together. Now listen to me this morning. This is very much indicative of their spirit. They were afraid, deathly afraid, because their leader, Jesus, had died and was buried, and the Romans were on the lookout for anybody who were following them. And if they found them, they were going to be probably put to death the same way, and they were very fearful of this. When he died, we know that these disciples all forsook him and fled, and now they were fearful for their own life. But it was in that moment of fearfulness that the Lord Jesus came to them and stood by them bodily. May I stop this morning and say that in the moment of our greatest need, God is there and ready to be discovered. Oftentimes, we don't really see that, maybe, or we miss it, as we're going to see from our story, but He is there at the time of greatest need. Notice that he was not hindered by the locked door, nor by the secret place of the disciples. He knew where they were, and he could get to them. And I want to remind you this morning that it's not about where we are. It's not about how much we have maybe decided that we're going to step aside because we are fearful or whatever the case might be. God knows where we are, and he will meet you there. I want to just comfort you with that this morning, because that's the message that we have for you. When the disciples were in their greatest need of confirmation of their faith, when it was the time for them to have the confirmation of their faith that they needed, Jesus showed up there. Now, let me just say this morning, church, that God is willing to show you himself, and he is willing to come to you in your time of greatest need if you will be willing to be there and meet him. Notice, if you would, I believe then, really the problem that we find, go back if you would there, and the Bible says in verse number 20, when he had said and showed them his hands and his side, they were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now, this word gladness doesn't just mean they were happy. It doesn't just mean they were full of joy. It means they had their needs met. They were rejoicing and comforted in the reality of the risen Savior. Okay, put yourself where the disciples were for a minute, all right? They had lost everything that they had been given over the last 3 years. They were following this Lord, this Savior. They believed he was Jesus. They believed he was the Messiah. They saw the wonderful works that he had done. And now he was buried in a grave, and they thought that this was done. They thought they were done. There was no point going on. We did all this for nothing. And their faith began to waver. Now, they believed in him while they saw him. They believed that he was the Son of God. They had confessed him as their Savior. But now their faith was wavering, and they were beginning to doubt what was going on. And not just doubt, but be fearful. May I tell you this morning that where faith is lacking, fear reigns. Let me say that again. Where faith is lacking, fear will be in control of our life. And that's where the disciples were that day. They were up in their room hiding because they were fearful. They weren't believing that Jesus was risen from the dead. Even though, listen to me, did they have evidence of the fact that he had risen from the dead? Let me say that again. Did they have evidence that he had already risen from the dead? Absolutely. Do you remember that Mary went to the tomb and then she came back and told them what she had seen? Do you remember that Peter and John ran to the tomb and they saw it for themselves? Do you remember all that? And do you remember the two on the road to Emmaus that talked with the living Savior? And when they talked with him, then he left and they went back and told everybody what they had seen and testified that our hearts burned within us. This is the Messiah. He is risen. They had three testimonies of the fact that Jesus was risen from the dead. But here they were hiding up in the room, fearful. Now, I'm just telling you here, God's given us ample evidence to trust in him. But the question is, are you believing it? Do you accept it? And that's what they were facing now. Now, I want to say this morning that God didn't come down with judgment and anger. No, he met them where their faith lacked. Aren't you thankful for God's long-suffering today? Aren't you glad this morning that when our faith is lacking, we can find evidence and truth to stand on to have our faith increased? Amen. And let me tell you, church, here's the key for the message. Very simple message this morning. Matter of fact, if you're going to listen fast, I might be done early. Here's the deal. God's willing to meet you where your need of faith is. But here's the question. Will you be there? Will you be there? I'm going to explain what I mean, because that means a lot of stuff. But will you be there when God is there to give you proof? Because those disciples that were gathered together, they were scattered. The Bible said they all forsook him and fled. They were scattered when he died 3 days earlier. But now they had come back together, and they were rejoicing and learning and trying to kind of help each other out a little bit. And when they saw the Lord, that's when their heart was glad. Their faith was established again, coming together. And guess where God showed up in that group when they were together? Did you hear me, church? God showed up when they were all there together, and they were fearful and in need. God showed up there to show them that he was real and that he had risen from the dead. Now, that's not insignificant. But I want you to see this morning that the disciples here, when they saw him and believed on him again, this was the ideal thing for them. Physical
visible evidence of a risen Savior. That's exactly what he said. This is real. How many of you that day probably would have been confirmed in your faith had you'd seen the Lord Jesus that day? Right? I mean, I think any one of us that could see the Lord Jesus, talk to him, touch him, we would have been absolutely convinced that he was risen from the dead that day. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And that's ideal. That's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord for that. Now, I want you to understand this morning that when Jesus shows up, the gladness, the confirmation of our heart is the confidence of our faith. And meeting with the Lord Jesus, church, listen, Christian, this morning, meeting with him, seeing him, and being confirmed in your faith is the greatest booster for your confidence and your joy that you'll ever have. You know, there's so many Christians that walk around, and they may not have it on their face, but that's their spirit. Woe is me. I don't know, you know, and I mean, they may know the Lord, but there's no joy in serving him. There's no joy in fellowship. There's no confidence in their manner of life and in their walk through life. They're just as fearful as the day is long and as the unsaved are. They're just as lost and ambivalent to the things of God as anybody else. And I'll tell you the reason, because when your faith was lacking, you didn't show up where God was there to show you his reality, his faith. I don't know where that might have been. Maybe it was a missed prayer meeting. Are you hearing me this morning? Maybe it was a missed church service. Maybe it was a time when you should have read your Bible and taken it out and spent time with him. Maybe it was just a conversation that you should have had with him through the day. I don't know where it might have been. These disciples didn't know when Jesus was going to show up that day, but they were there and together and ready. Isn't that a blessing? And let me tell you this morning, church, God will meet you where your faith lacks and where your fear is abounding and where your uncertainty is the reality of your life. And he will meet you, but you've got to be there to meet him too. That's the message this morning, because verse 24 is very tragic, and I believe it's a testimony to many Christians. The moment when God is meeting with you to show you his reality in himself, most Christians are AWOL. For those of you that don't know what that means, it's a military term, right? Absent without leave. That means you're missing at where you should be. And that's where the book of John teaches us what happens to Thomas. Now, poor Thomas, I don't know much about him, except in chapter 11, we know a little bit about him. Back when Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead in chapter 11, they knew that by raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus was putting himself in great jeopardy. As a matter of fact, we know that because the Pharisees threatened to kill Jesus because he did this with Lazarus. That's kind of ironic, isn't it? You raise him from the dead, so we're going to kill you. I don't understand that, but that's okay. So here's the point. Jesus was going, and he said, let's go. And Thomas, kind of in his melancholy way. Now, this is kind of a glimpse into his personality, maybe his spirituality. But Thomas, in that way, he said, well, we might, and I'm paraphrasing, we might as well go and die with him. Let's just go and die with him. In other words, if we're going to go, we'll follow you, Lord, but we're going to all die. Right? Just kind of this melancholy type of thing. So Thomas, we get a glimpse in, probably had a spirit or a personality of just kind of, woe is me, I don't know if I believe it type of a thing. All right, so that's his personality. But now notice what the testimony of this was. That day when the disciples were in that room together and they were fearful, not knowing what the Romans were going to do, and they didn't know what was going on. Guess who was missing? All 11 were there. Guess who is missing? Thomas. And like maybe another Christians, he said to himself, I got to stay home. I can't go out. I mean, I'm too afraid. I'm afraid what the Romans are going to do. I'm afraid that my life is in jeopardy. I'm afraid what's going to happen to me. It's better for me just to stay home while everybody else meets together. I hope this morning you're seeing what the Bible's saying here. I think that many times we miss out on meeting with the Lord because of fear. I know we've come through a year of fear, haven't we? I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty. There's still a lot of fear. And by the way, is death real? I'm not trying to be, you know, insulting your intelligence. I mean, absolutely. Is COVID-19 real? Absolutely. It's deadly, and it can be very damaging to people. There's no doubt about that. I'm not denying it. I'm not denying that we face risks every day. But here's what I'm saying today. I believe that in the moment of our fear and difficulty and trials, the Lord wants to meet with us. But if fear overcomes us, we may miss out on it. We may miss out on it. And maybe it's not fear. I don't know that Thomas was at home fearful that day. The Bible doesn't tell us. He might have been busy. I have some other things to do today. I can't go. I'm sorry. The 11 are meeting together. They're going to be all together. I can't go. Maybe he was, I can't even think. Maybe he didn't even care. Maybe he was just ambivalent about the whole thing. I don't know what his spirit was. I can guess and surmise, but the fact of the matter is, the point was that he was not there. Read with me again verse number 24, if you would. Go back to verse 20. They put their hands in his side and saw him, and they were glad. And Jesus said unto him, peace be unto you, even as the Father sent me, even so send I you. And he talked to them about some things there in verse number 22, breathed on them the Holy Ghost, which was a predecessor to the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which would happen in Acts chapter 2. All right? I'm not going to go through all the doctrinal implications of that, but notice in verse number 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not there with them when Jesus came. This is the message today. I don't have a big fancy outline. Number one, I mentioned about the gladness of the disciples, but number two, if you're going to write something down, write down the absence of Thomas. The absence of Thomas. I don't know why Thomas wasn't there that day. I don't know what his excuse was, or I don't know what his reason was. I'm sure it was very good to him. I'm sure he had every good reason to stay at his house or to stay wherever he was. But let me tell you this morning, church, he was not where Jesus was meeting with his disciples. Here's the implications this morning. Are you missing Jesus? Pastor, I love going to church and hearing the Word of God, and that's wonderful, but are you missing him on Monday? Are you missing him on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? I love reading my Bible, and that's good, but you read the Bible in the morning. Are you missing him through the rest of the day? Pastor, I understand the importance of prayer, but I'm too busy to come to prayer meeting or to go and to be in church every time the doors are open. I'm too busy, Pastor. It's just too much, or I'm too fearful. I understand. I'm not here to condemn you this morning. It's not my job to make you feel bad because I understand what fear is. Believe me, I do. I'm just here to tell you this morning that there's an example of a person who could have had some comfort just like the other disciples, but he missed it because he wasn't there when Jesus met with them. And I'm just saying today, church, maybe it is that you're waiting for a better time, like that boy who was waiting for the next bull to come along. Maybe you're waiting for an easier time. Maybe you're waiting for a more convenient time. Maybe you're waiting for something else to happen. But I'm telling you right now, God wants to meet with you where your faith is weak, and he is willing to do that, but are you willing to be there? Are you willing to meet him too? And so the absence of Thomas was that we already know he was this kind of discouraged type of a person and he missed the Lord. And this one missed opportunity, listen to me today, the one time that he wasn't there with them was the time Jesus showed up and the time that he was able to have comfort he missed. And he then really became an unbeliever. I'm not talking about unsaved necessarily. I'm talking about he just didn't believe the Lord Jesus was risen for another 8 days. See, that doesn't seem like that big a deal, but think about all the missed opportunities during that week. Because notice, if you would, let's continue down there. Verse 25, first of all, I want you to see here that the disciples testified to Thomas. Now, this is really interesting because I want to tell you what happens when you miss out on meeting with the Lord and you miss that opportunity because you were not in your place, wherever that may be. Whether it's a church service or a prayer meeting or a devotion time or an opportunity of ministry, when you're not there in your place, let me tell you, your unbelief is extended or made even worse. Because I want you to notice a couple things about Thomas here. Number one, he had 11 of his closest peers testifying what they had seen. Did you hear me? 11. I don't have that many fingers, okay? testifying of what they had seen, and he still refused to believe it. I can't tell you how hard-headed that must have been. Listen, if everyone around you is saying, this is the word of God, this is true, this is what we've experienced, this is what God's word says, and I'm unwilling to listen and to heed that, who's the wrong one? Thomas was the one that would not receive it, even after they were all together, and so they got together, and there was a meeting together, and Jesus showed up, and then Jesus left, and they all went to Thomas and said, Thomas, you missed out. I mean, Jesus was here. You know what he said to them? I don't believe it. I don't believe it. So here's what I see happening to our unbelief when we are not where we ought to be. Here's what I see happening. Number one, our unbelief becomes unreasonable. It becomes unreasonable. There's no reason for us to continue in unbelief because we have ample testimony and evidence to show that Jesus was where he was and what he said he was. 10, 11, I said 11. Technically, that wasn't right because Judas was gone by now, right? So there were 10 witnesses. Here's what I'm saying this morning. Even in the face of 10 witnesses, his faith was unreasonable. I won't receive it. And that's what happens many times to us. When we are not in place, we don't see the Lord Jesus. Maybe it's been a while since I've experienced him. Maybe my faith is really weak right now. And my fear is strong, or my uncertainty, my doubt. And man, I tell you, there's all kinds of problems in my life. And discouragement and depression and all kinds of things follow that. Let me tell you what the problem is. Many times, God, and not many times, he is willing to be there. And maybe it's through a service like God meets with you. And you leave and your faith is strengthened. Maybe you receive him as your Savior. Or maybe you just are encouraged by what you've heard and you've corrected something in your life. But you've seen the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you today, that's how our faith can be strengthened. But if you're missing from that, you're going to miss out on that time. You say, Pastor, that sounds kind of exclusive, like I've got to be at every service. I've got to be at every prayer meeting. And I'm telling you right now, the Word of God is being preached, or if it's an opportunity for me to pray together, or it's an opportunity for me to fellowship with God's people and serve together, I'm going to be there because I don't want to miss out, Lord. I don't want to miss out. And I'm not saying that every service is going to be life-changing, although I think God's truth can change us every day. But I'm saying I want to be there when Jesus shows up. And I don't want to miss anything. Is that your spirit today? And so it is. It pays to be present with the Lord Jesus. His unbelief became unreasonable. But number two, his unbelief became very obstinate. He refused to believe all the evidence that was given to him, even though there were 10 people testifying of it. Believe according to my own prejudice, believe it all. In other words, it's got to be my way or I'm not going to believe. How many times do we do that? Lord, it's got to be this way, not going to work out. Or I'm not going to believe you. I'm telling you, we put so many things in front of the Lord like that, don't we? We don't have to, but that's what Thomas did. You know what he said? Unless or except I can put my hands. If you see the obstinance of that faith, his unbelief just grew because he missed the Lord. And that's what happens many times. You miss out on the Lord. And that's why we got a lot of Christians today that are just sour and sorrowful and sad and all kinds of things. No joy, no fruit. When's the last time you saw the Lord? When's the last time you've seen Jesus in your life or those around you? It's no wonder we're dead. God wants to show us. God wants to be there. But are you willing to be there? Not only was his belief unreasonable and obstinate, but also it was presumptuous. It would not have been good enough just for Jesus to show up there and show himself. No, I can see Jesus with my eyes, but unless my hand touches his hands, unless my hand's thrust in his side, I won't believe. Let me tell you today, that's what Jesus, I think, came to cure in our lives. Thomas was unwilling to hear and to believe, all because he wasn't there when Jesus showed up. Now, Adam Clark said it this way. He was a commentator of old, pastor many, many years ago. He said, behold the consequences of forsaking the assembling of God's people together. Jesus comes to the meeting. A disciple is found out of his place who might have been there or should have been there. And he is not only not blessed, but his heart becomes hardened and darkened through the deceitfulness of sin. It was through God's mere mercy that ever Thomas had another opportunity of being convinced of his error. Reader, take warning. This is what the warning is. Jesus showed up. Thomas wasn't there. Thomas's faith took a turn for the worse, and he became really a stumbling block until the Lord showed up again and met him where he was. Don't let that be you today, Christian. Don't miss out on the Lord. He's right there. He's right here today. He wants to meet you where your need is, and he wants to show himself to you. But notice the blessing of faith, if you would. I'm so thankful this morning as we close on this thought. I'm so thankful the Lord Jesus didn't come down with a big old stick. Thomas, you dumbhead. I gave you all the evidence you needed. Why don't you believe your 10 buddies? Come on now, Thomas. We don't find one word about that from the Lord Jesus. Isn't that a blessing? I'm so thankful for that. Now, did Thomas miss out? Absolutely. He had a whole week where there was no fellowship, fear. I can't even imagine the torment going through that week. His disciples were there. I'm sure his disciple friends were like, Thomas, just believe that he was there. He was. I'll tell you. Nope, I'm not going to believe it. Sorry. I'm just going to stay home. Woe is me. Whatever his spirit was, he missed out on all of that. But I'll tell you this. God gave him a second chance. And if you're here today, and maybe your life has been characterized by Thomas-like Christianity, missing in action, missing when you should have been in a place where you should have been. Maybe today the message is for you. And the message is, God wants to meet you where you are, and he's willing to show himself, and what you need to see, he will show you. Now, it's unfortunate that faith is that small. Doesn't need to be. You've got evidence around you, all around it. God is good. He works. It's worth it. And fruitful life. All of those things are around you. But if you need something else, he's willing to meet you there. He's willing to meet you there. Notice what he says there in verse number 27 or 28. After 8 days again, a week and a day later, here they are gathered together again. The disciples were within and Thomas with them. Isn't that a blessing? I don't know what drew Thomas there that day. I'm imagining he got to the bottom of his barrel. This is just my surmising, so don't hold me to this. But I'm guessing that week was just a torment to him. The depression and discouragement that he experienced and fear was just unbearable. He had to be with God's people. I've got to get to where I think God is going to be. And let me tell you, when he came together there, can you tell what happened? Look at verse number 26. After 8 days, the disciples were within, Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. All over again, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then he said to Thomas, what do you think he said to Thomas? You all know, don't you? Thomas, come on now. No, he said, Thomas, come here. Behold my hands and my feet. Reach forth your hand, Thomas, into my side, and feel that spear wound that I bore in my body. Come on, Thomas, it's okay. Come on. You know what I think? I think at that point, Thomas didn't need to do all that. He looked at the Lord. He met with the Lord. He was there when the Lord met with him. You know what his confession was? Not the Lord and the God of heaven. No, my Lord and my God. You see, it made a big difference in Thomas' life, and I can guarantee you from that day on, his life was changed. Can I say this? You can't meet with the Lord and see the Lord in reality and your life not be changed. God will not allow that to happen. His word is powerful. And that presence that Jesus had that day changed Thomas' life. And I'm so thankful this morning of God's second chance. But notice he said there, verse 29, and as I close, I want you to see this. Jesus said unto Thomas, Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. That's good, Thomas. You've seen and believed. How many know that's not a very high standard? We can see and believe all the time. Matter of fact, that's kind of how we live, isn't it? We see, we believe. We see it, we believe it. Now, that's very much faulty because our eyes and our brains can deceive us. If you've never seen these optical illusions and things, you know, and I mean, you can forget things and not see things, and it's just weird. I mean, our brain can play tricks on us, I'll tell you that. But that's how we live. We have to see it in order to believe it. So God allowed Thomas to do that. But listen, here's what he said. Thomas, you've seen and believed. That's great. But there's coming a time when there's going to be people who are going to believe but have never seen. They've never seen my hands. They've never seen my side. They've never seen my feet. They've never seen my face. But they're going to believe on me. And they're going to trust in me. And Thomas, that's the kind of faith that brings me happiness and joy. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. You see, if you're one of those Christians that say, I have to see it, it better be proven to me. I think God can even meet you there. But that's not the kind of faith that glorifies the Lord. The kind of faith that glorifies the Lord is, you know what? I know it's right to be where I need to be. I know it's right to give my life completely to the Lord. I know it's right for me to live completely for God and not for myself. I know it's right to do, and I'm going to do it. I know it's right for me to give myself completely to trust in Him for my soul's salvation. And you know what? That's the kind of faith that is the saving faith that pleases God and that saves a person in their soul. It's not just a do this or do that. It's not just a, I got to see something to believe it. Now, God can help us. And by the way, there's plenty of evidence. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith, can you say it with me? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. Now, I don't know about in a court of law how this all works, but let me tell you, when evidence is presented, And then the defense is, you know, they present their evidence and they argue back and forth. The evidence presented is enough to convict or to acquit someone based on the presentation of that evidence, whether a person was there or not. Let me tell you today, God gave us evidence that we have to believe in Him and to trust Him, and we can put our faith in Him for our soul salvation and for our walk with Him as a personal relationship. Remember we sang about friendship with Jesus and in the garden alone and all of these things that we talk about, friendship with Jesus. That's not just some sort of a pipe dream or something that we just wish I could have one day. That's a reality that God wants to give us in our lives. The question is, are you willing to be there? Are you willing to be there? And that's where Thomas had to learn. And he said, blessed are those that have not seen and yet believed. And then verse number 31, all these things that Jesus did and all the things that John wrote down, even though he didn't write them all down, all the things he wrote down were for the fact that we can believe on that same Jesus. And you say, well, that's not enough evidence for me. I've got to see it with my own eyes. Okay, that's fair, although I think we have plenty of evidence by believing in what we see, what God's Word. It's never lied. There's never been a contradiction in here. There's never been one time when this has been wrong, whether it be prophecy or geography or science. Never. Not one thing. Matter of fact, I was talking to a guy yesterday, a pastor friend of mine, and he's preaching from the book of Job. And you know, it's amazing to me that Job, this has nothing to do with the message, but listen to me. Job confirmed many scientific facts, I mean, centuries before they were discovered, to be true by law. For instance, it was accepted that the earth was round for many years, I mean, since the time of creation. The Bible says in the book of Job that he hangeth the earth upon nothing, and he talks about the circle of the earth. All right, so that was a fact a long time ago. And yet we've got people back in the Middle Ages, and even some today, believe that, you know, the earth is flat or whatever the case might be. It's crazy. That was a widely accepted thing for a long time. I mean, we can talk about all kinds of stuff. I'm just saying, God's Word has never, never failed us. We have ample evidence to trust in Him and to put our faith in His Word. The question is, are you willing to do it? Do you even show up and open your Bible when it's time to read the Bible at home or at church? Are you there? Do you see Him? Or are you missing out? And so, this morning, let me conclude with this. Again, I don't know why Thomas was missing that evening instead of being with the disciples when the Lord showed up. He could have been fearful. He could have been busy. He could have been disinterested. I don't know. But he wasn't there. It didn't really matter what was the reason, because When Jesus came, he was gone. Perhaps this morning we should just commit to this. I'm going to be there because I don't know where Jesus is going to show up. And I don't know where he's going to speak to me and he's going to increase my faith. But I want to be every place that he is so that I can experience that when he does. How could he know, how could Thomas have known that that was the night that Jesus was going to show up? How could he have known that the one time I missed, sure enough, that's when Jesus, he didn't know. And you don't know when God is going to have something for you, whether it be something that someone says, maybe something from the Word of God, maybe a prayer time together, whatever it might be, you don't know. But if you're not there, you will miss out. That's the whole thought here this morning. The devotional time that he will show you what you're looking for, the prayer meeting when he knits our hearts together and gives us a vision for what he can do, the reassuring power of gathering together on the Lord's day or in other special times of the week and other times when services are offered. It's not, listen this morning, church, I almost hesitate to preach this message because it almost sounds self-serving. Pastor, you just want more people in church. Okay, I confess I do. But that's not my reason. Because here's what I'm saying this morning. This is true, and I'm just telling you today, it's not about just more people in church or more people at prayer meeting or more people reading their Bibles. It's about your ability to be able to see Jesus and to see him when he shows up. That's what it's all about. It's not about filling pews and chairs, whatever. It's about you experiencing the Lord Jesus. And are you willing to commit to be there? There's really two kinds of Christians in this building right now today. Those who are committed to being there at every possible moment. Not that they're perfect, but man, every time the doors are open, I'm going to be in church. Every time I have an opportunity, I'm not going to miss a time reading my Bible, spending time with the Lord. I'm not going to miss a prayer meeting because I don't want to miss when God may show up and encourage me or strengthen my heart. That's the whole testimony and the whole message this morning. The reassuring power of gathering with God's people and meeting together with him is a great advancement to our faith. And so my question is, where will you be when God shows up to meet you? Where will you be? I'll close with this illustration. We've had wonderful, wonderful prayer meetings here at our church the last 2 weeks. This last week, it was on Thursday. Week before it was on Friday. We'll have one more this week. And all of those prayer meetings are very much pointed towards preparing our heart for our upcoming family conferences a week from today. And I'm telling you what, I would not have wanted to miss those two prayer meetings. They have been sweet. We've got together, we've prayed, and we sang, and we gave testimony. And I'm telling you what, the Lord encouraged me in both of those. It encouraged my faith. He strengthened my trust as a pastor. I'm not here to shame anybody. I understand people travel, sick, whatever. That's not the point. Here's what I'm saying. Where's your heart, though? Where's your commitment? Would you just say, Lord, I want to be there when you're there because I don't want to miss out on you showing me something. That really is the spirit of it today. And I just want to encourage you this morning, church, would you just take this seriously? And consider in your own heart what the Lord's calling you to do. Shall we pray together and ask the Lord's blessing? Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning not to interject our own feeling in this, but to just take the Word of God for what it is. Lord, this story was included in the book of John. And Lord, it was included for a reason. And it was to show the process of the Lord restoring faith to someone, Lord, who is doubting and fearful and unbelieving. And I'm so thankful for your mercy that allows us to have that second chance. But Lord, I'm so thankful for your grace that gives us even the first chance, that you meet with us even at all. Lord, maybe this morning our hearts have been challenged about our commitment to you, our commitment in our Bible reading, our commitment in our personal prayer time, Lord, that has been neglected for so long. And there you are standing outside our door waiting to talk to us and fellowship with us. Our commitment to the church meetings, Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Lord, I know there's no law. It's not about our proving or having to earn your love. It's nothing about that. But Lord, it's really about not wanting to miss out on anything that you have for us. Oh Lord, I pray today that you do your work in our hearts. Maybe there's someone here today that is not trusting you for their soul salvation. And Lord, maybe they need to meet you in that way. Maybe today needs to be the day of salvation. Lord, I'll remove the word maybe. Today needs to be the day of salvation. I pray that you'd help them to submit and humble themselves before you and to accept what you have. Lord, I pray your blessing now upon this time. May we be firm in our conviction and commitment to you, I pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to let you be seated. I normally have you stand, but I want you just to be seated for a moment. But I want you to think about what the message said, not what Pastor said necessarily, but what did you hear from the Word of God today? What did the Holy Spirit speak to you about? And just ask Him, Lord, would you teach me, or would you help me? Or maybe right now you already know what your commitment needs to be. What that step is, you say, I need to do this. I need to make this commitment in my life to the Lord. It's not to me or to this church. It's to God. You're serving Him. And would you just simply, in your heart, say, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. It's my firm commitment to do what you've asked me to do in this. And you fill in that blank, whatever it is. And then may I encourage you to do this, because we're so kind of forgetful and, we let things go too easy. We make a vow to God or commitment. That's very serious. I would encourage you, even if you're not used to it, or maybe you're not familiar, but taking action on that immediately helps to cement it in our mind. And if you're sitting here today and the Lord's done something in your heart and you're saying, I want to make a commitment, or I know I need to, I would encourage you to do that right in your seat right now. But then I would encourage you, when the instrumentalists play, would you stand up and just come, and would you tell the Lord here, Lord, this is what I want to do. Now, it's not magic coming forward or being at the front of the church, but I'll tell you what it does. It makes it important in your mind. This is a big deal. And so I'm asking that you would consider that this morning. As the instrumentalists play, and if the Lord's done something in your heart, just quietly stand. If somebody